Good day, everyone. Thank you for watching this presentation on Swiss Re's 2014 third quarter and nine-month results. My name is David Cole, and I am Swiss Re's Group CFO. Let's start today's presentation with the financial highlights included on slide two. We continue to see positive contributions from all three business units toward the group's overall strong performance. Q3 group net income was $1.2 billion, bringing us to a total net income for the first nine months of $3.3 billion. Both the Q3 ROE of 14.8% and the first nine months ROE of 13.3% demonstrate our resilience in a challenging market environment. During Q3, reinsurance delivered $1 billion of net income, helped by a low Nat Cat burden and continued improvement in Life and Health Re's operating margin. Corporate Solutions profitably grew net premiums earned by 14.2%, and Admin Re generated strong gross cash of $142 million. The net income generated, combined with a higher level of unrealized gains, have increased our book value per share to $98, or 94 Swiss francs. Our group SST ratio of 249%, as reflected in our October submission to FINMA, our Swiss regulator, remains strong and has increased from 241%, as reflected in our April SST submission to FINMA. Neither of these two submissions reflects the $500 million subordinated notes issued by Corporate Solutions in September. On slide three, you'll find the usual overview of key figures. I'll not walk you through this slide, but I would like to highlight, as mentioned earlier, unrealized gains have increased our reported shareholders' equity in the quarter and in the first nine months, mainly as a result of lower interest rates. Let's move to P&C Re on the next slide. Once again, I'm pleased to report another strong quarter for P&C Re. Net earned premiums increased by 9% in the quarter, with about half of the growth due to the expiry of a large quota share agreement. The combined ratio was 76.7% in the quarter, noting there was less of an impact from natural catastrophes than we would typically expect. This improved the combined ratio by 8.8 percentage points. Despite increasing our New Zealand earthquake reserves by $235 million, we still had reserve releases of just over $100 million, or 2.2 percentage points on the combined ratio. This quarter, there was also an expense reduction of $157 million relating to a reserve that is no longer required, which improved the combined ratio by 3.6 percentage points. Such a low combined ratio, of course, leads to higher earnings, and for the quarter, P&C Re reported net income of $842 million, together with an ROE of 28%. But let's not just focus on one quarter. Taking a nine-month view, we see P&C Re has delivered earnings of $2.4 billion and an ROE of 25.1%. This is a testament to our underwriting approach, how we anticipate client needs and deliver tailor-made solutions. The team has continued to deliver excellent performance in a challenging market environment. Life and Health Re is on slide five. This has been a very important quarter for Life and Health Re. Let me start with the usual run-through of the numbers. Operating revenues continue to grow as the team adds profitable new business to the book, particularly health business in Asia and in Europe. The operating margin has also significantly improved to 9.2%. In this quarter, mortality experience in the Americas was better than expected. You may recall in the comparative quarter in 2013, we incurred significant reserve strengthening for our Australian group disability business. Net income for the quarter was $160 million, and the ROE was 9.6%. While this quarter's performance demonstrates clear improvements, we continue to focus on actions to improve the segment's underlying profitability. Our Life and Health team continues to execute on the plan we laid out at Investors Day last year, as we move towards a business that will produce ROEs of 10-12% by 2015. A major element of that plan is dealing with our pre-2004 U.S. business. In the third quarter this year, we successfully concluded negotiations with one client regarding this pre-2004 U.S. business. And we've made significant progress during the past quarter in negotiations with a number of other clients. In the fourth quarter of 2014, we expect to conclude our negotiations with these clients, and we anticipate booking a pre-tax U.S. GAAP charge of approximately $550 million. This is very close to the estimate we've provided you previously. In addition to removing this overhang, we will continue to focus on implementing management actions that will further improve future returns. We remain committed to achieving an ROE of 10 to 12% for this segment by 2015. The next slide is on Corporate Solutions. Corporate Solutions delivered another good quarter with profitable organic growth. This despite a more challenging market environment. Net premiums earned are up by 14.2% to $903 million for the quarter. Most lines of business contributed to this growth. Gross premiums written increased to $2.8 billion in the first 9 months of the year. Our ambition to attain U.S. $4 to $5 billion of gross written premiums written by 2015 is on track. However, if market softening continues, this presents a bigger challenge. You've heard me say this before, but I'd like to repeat it now. We are not driven by the top-line growth. Rather, our goal is profitable growth. In terms of operating performance, Corporate Solutions reported a combined ratio of 90.5% in Q3. This translates to 103.5 when adjusting for the lower-than-expected nat cats and favorable reserve releases. This underlying combined ratio is higher than you might have expected and is mainly driven by higher-than-expected man-made losses in the quarter, along with higher expenses. Current expense levels reflect ongoing investment in our capabilities and in growth initiatives for beyond 2015. The combined ratio for the first 9 months of this year is 92.9%, or 99.4% as adjusted. With this level of man-made events experienced to date and our ongoing investments, we currently expect the full-year combined ratio for Corporate Solutions to exceed 95%. I remain very happy with the progress Corporate Solutions is making. Let's look at the net income for the quarter. Corporate Solutions delivered a $103 million profit in Q3, which translates into an annualized return on equity in excess of 15%. This is a good achievement in the current market environment. During Q3, Corporate Solutions successfully debuted in the capital markets, issuing $500 million of subordinated debt. This is in line with implementation of the group's target capital structure. Let's now switch to Admin Re on slide 7. Admin Re generated $142 million of gross cash in Q3. Included in this quarter's gross cash generation is a positive impact of $92 million related to the finalization of the UK half-year statutory result. In the first 9 months of 2014, Admin Re delivered exceptional gross cash of $615 million. This performance was significantly supported by the release of surplus reserves held against the risk of credit default, and positive impacts following the finalization of the UK statutory results. Updates to gross cash generation are provided annually, and I will provide you with a revised projection with the full year results in February. Admin Re's return on investments increased to 5.2%, mainly due to increased income from the asset rebalancing we did last year. Net income was $54 million in the third quarter. I'd like to remind you that the high net income in the prior year period benefited from favorable tax impacts. The return on equity of 3.5% for the period is impacted by the relatively high equity base in Admin Re. Management continues to look at further actions to extract capital where possible. One such successful action relates to our agreement to sell Aurora, as we announced last month. This sale is another milestone in the ongoing exit of Admin Re from its U.S. business, and is fully aligned with our focus on growing the UK business. We currently expect this transaction will produce an after-tax US GAAP loss of less than $200 million in the fourth quarter, with a positive economic impact of a similar order of magnitude. I'll now move on to our investment results on the next slide. Q3 again saw a strong performance from our asset management department. This continues the year-to-date trend of their significant contribution towards our overall result. Our average invested assets were slightly higher during Q3 than the prior period, this impacted by lower interest rates year on year. Our duration position was also more or less matched with a net DVO1 position of minus $2.6 million at September 2014. We also saw some asset allocation changes during Q3, including an increase in government bonds and a reduction in our listed equity exposure. This is fully within our previously announced midterm asset allocation plan. Return on investment of 3.5% during Q3 was primarily driven by higher net investment income and realized gains from our equity portfolio. For the first 9 months of 2014, the return on investment result was slightly better than the same period last year. Finally, we continue to see relatively low level of impairments, with $18 million in Q3 being roughly in line with the prior year. The running yield on our long-term fixed income portfolio declined from previous quarters to 3.2% during Q3. This was mostly due to lower extraordinary prepayments of securitized products. We still expect our running yield to be approximately 3.3% for the entire year. Details on our U.S. GAAP common shareholders' equity are on slide 9. Net income for the quarter was the main driver for the rise over the previous quarter. Effects from the strengthening U.S. dollar and unrealized gains, mainly from lower interest rates, largely offset each other. Our current capital structure is next on slide 10. Here's an update of our capital structure, including an updated economic net worth as of the end of June 2014. As you know, we report our economic figures half yearly. As I already highlighted at the Investors Day this past July, we remain well on track towards the implementation of our target capital structure. Here you can see the progress we've made during the first half year, and we've continued to make progress in the third quarter. You may recall our ambition to add some leverage to both the Corporate Solutions and Admin Re businesses. We have walked the talk by arranging a £550 million revolving credit facility for Admin Re in April, and Corporate Solutions issued £500 million of subordinated debt in September. I'll now move on to my last slide. I would like to start by just reminding you all that we've delivered net income of $3.3 billion during the first 9 months of the year. This translates into an annualized return on equity for the period of 13.3% and an earnings per share of $9.5. You can also see our economic net worth progress nicely through the first half. Today, we're a step closer to the end of the fourth year of our current five-year financial targets period. As you can see, we remain on track. Please be assured, delivering on these targets remains our top priority. Our next target update will be with our full-year results on the 19th of February, where I will, of course, also address capital management in more detail. Our capital management priorities remain unchanged, with the highest priority being growing the regular dividend in line with long-term earnings. Finally, I have the pleasure to inform you that Philippe Brahim will take over as head of our Investor Relations Department, effective from the 1st of January 2015. Philippe brings a wealth of experience in managing relationships with our external stakeholders, most recently in his role as head of qualitative risk management. I look forward to working together with Philippe and wish him every success in his new role. Thank you much for watching this video on Swiss Re's 2014 third quarter and 9 month results.